Let's go ahead and open our Bibles back to Philemon. I'll tell you, we got a triple portion in Philemon this last week. Praise God. We had our started with our precious brother Andre and moved on into Sunday and moving now on to Wednesday. So we thank God for this. And let's go ahead and read it from verse 4 through 17 tonight. Paul says, I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers, hearing of thy love and faith, which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. For we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. Wherefore, though I might be much bold in Christ to enjoin thee that which is convenient, yet for love's sake, I love that, for love's sake, I rather beseech thee, being such a one as Paul the aged, he is such a one, isn't he, that Paul? And now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ. I beseech thee, two times, for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds, which in times past was to thee unprofitable, but now, profitable to thee and to me, whom I have sent again. Thou therefore receive him, that is mine own bowels, whom I would have retained with me, that in thy stead he might have ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel. But without thy mind would I do nothing, that thy benefit should not be as it were of necessity, but willingly. For perhaps he therefore departed for a season, that thou shouldest receive him forever. Not now as a servant, but above a servant, a brother beloved, specially to me, but how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord. If thou count me therefore a partner, receive him as myself. It only gets better every time you read through that. Isn't that awesome? I mean, it's just so purely Jesus and purely such divine love. Now, we saw how Onesimus, his life was completely turned around by the grace of God, by the grace of God. So much so, to an extent, that the treasure that was built, and built in a very rapid time, was just as Paul himself. And I pray that we really receive that, because Paul says to Philemon, receive him as myself. Receive him as if you're receiving me. He's been very beneficial to me, but he's even going to be more beneficial to you. There's a special blessing to Philemon with the life of Onesimus. Onesimus was a disappointment to him. He was a servant of Philemon, but much more so in the spiritual. There was a hurt. There was obviously a bond between those two, but there was something that fractured. And it was mainly, if not completely, on the part of Onesimus. But yet, the gospel came. And the gospel grew. And the grace of God that he partook in, which was Paul's grace. Remember how Paul would tell the Philippians, you're partakers of my grace? Onesimus went in and got it. I could see Onesimus sitting right down there with Paul, and they're having a big dinner of Paul's grace, and they're just eating it time after time after time after time. And Paul says, man, I would have kept this brother to minister to me. Now I want you to think about that grace, that truth, and what Paul's gospel, and how quickly, if you'll take it, what it can do. And it's not that we're idolizing Paul in any way, shape, or form. But the word of God says to mark them. to mark them. And what you're marking by the grace of God is that love and that faith and that truth and what they're after in their life. And specifically, it is Paul's gospel. Because as we know and we rejoice in time after time again, in virtually all of Paul's epistles, he says that there was a hidden mystery. There was a hidden mystery. And it was hidden from the sons of men. It was hidden from the prophets. It's so obvious, you have to reject it to not want it. You do, just like salvation. I believe Paul's gospel is the same way. You reject it by not believing. You reject it by ignoring it. You reject it by just going along with what you've heard or how you've grown up. Well, I'll tell you what, that's not an excuse. You'll never be able to blame it on your religion. You'll never be able to blame it on your family. By the grace of God, let me tell you something. That grace is seeking every and anyone who will receive it. And to this extent, you think about how that flooded Onesimus, that Onesimus transformed because of the message of the bride. He transformed into one of those like precious faith vessels as the Apostle Paul. Amen. Praise God. So, we have this encouragement and rejoicing to us. And the reason we know this is to us and we know that this is for us, and praise God how wonderfully for us He is it's all there in Christ. We started very quickly into this study with one of the greatest encouragements of what's in Christ. The Word of God there in Ephesians chapter 1 says, we have been blessed. We have been blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ. So we have them all. We have all the spiritual blessings to perfect that which concerns us. And praise be to God, the key of it all is love and faith. Now, Sunday we rejoiced. Even though this great love and faith was abundant in Philemon, we just read how Paul complimented this brother. He said, my goodness, the bowels of the brethren are refreshed by you. But there was still one more to love. There was still one more to love. And so important, and I just thought how beautiful this is. Paul has all of these epistles, but yet here's this little Philemon. All 25 verses. Actually fit easily on a half a page. But it wasn't omitted from the Word of God. Because it is the Word of God. And it's imperative in the Word of God, as all of it is. But it's imperative for Paul's gospel. This has a truth in it. And a truth that's magnified, that is so important to us, brothers and sisters. That when he says love to all the saints, it means love to all the saints. But it means love to all the saints. And this is speaking of those that are running, especially for that prize for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. But a love that would receive that saint as if you or I was receiving Paul. It's exactly it. That there wouldn't be any differentiation or hypocrisy in how I esteem that life. Now, I can be thankful because someone might be different personality or whatever it may be that may jive more or something of that nature with myself. I don't know, but I want to get over that, and I want to be about that person and that heart and that love because, see, that's what the Lord is looking at. He looks at the heart. The Lord didn't go on and on about the personality or the outward appearance of different ones. Matter of fact, you hear very little of that kind of a thing. But I'll tell you one thing he always spoke of was the faith. Or the lack thereof. But he didn't mess around with that too much. He went right after those that would believe. And a lot of times those that would believe, they had periods of time that it was a hard time believing. They went through a lot of stuff. But yet there was something about love and grace. They loved that grace. They loved that mercy. They knew that that's what the Lord loved. And they fell in love with that. They fell in love with Christ in them. Christ, it's still Christ. I'm so thankful I'm in love with Christ. And I'm in love that Christ is in me. I thank the Lord for that. I rejoice. It gives me hope in everything. Every day. No matter what comes, no matter what transpires in that day, praise God for His love. Praise God. But see, this truth was so important. This letter was so important. It could not be left out of the Word of God. And this letter is so important, it cannot be left out of you. This cannot be overlooked. And I really want you to put yourself in the place of Philemon. And Lord, search me. If there be anything, as David said, any wicked way. But I'll even say it this way. If there wouldn't be that perfect way, that perfect love, search me, search me. And let's find this thing out. Praise be to God. Now, brothers and sisters, this truth cannot be omitted from our lives. It can't be ignored if we're really going to win Christ. If we do not receive the lovers of Paul's gospel as himself, I believe that we're squandering all this truth and love. I believe we'll find that out tonight, especially in this sixth verse as it reveals it to us. I don't want to squander the Spirit and truth that's met my life. I don't want to settle not being a full overcomer. Amen. Amen. I don't want to settle for that. Amen. So tonight, I'll say this. God willing, this will be the conclusion of our In Christ studies. This will do it. And there is one key, I believe, to the entirety of the studies we've had on this, and it's right there in verse 6. And I thought, how appropriate, verse 6, human weakness. You got to reckon who you are, and you're weak, and you can't do it, and you don't have anything good about you. Amen. And you best know that, that the only thing that's lovely is Him. Amen. And thank you, Jesus, for it. That we know it, and we give you all the praise. Now, let's go on, because you know His strength is made perfect in my weakness. Verse 6. That the communication of thy faith, so your faith has communication, and this word communication is intimacy. I will even say it. It speaks of the depth of intimacy between a husband and wife. This is spousal communication. And yes, one of the definitions you'll find for this is intercourse. This is the encouragement that the Lord is giving us here. To get it, that this is that intimate of a love and a passion that by the grace of God that He has given us in Christ. So he says, Philemon, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual. That's alive, living, with power, by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you. Isn't that wonderful? In Christ Jesus. See, this is so precise. He doesn't just point to Jesus somewhere off at the right hand of God. He says, every good thing that is in you, in Christ Jesus. Think of the In Christ studies that we've had. Where is everything that He desires? Where is all the very inheritance of God? It's in you. It's in you. The life of His Son is in you. Every good thing, praise be to God, is right there. In its fullness, born with that same life. Galatians 4:1, Lord of all. That's the life. And you're not being humble by saying, oh, that's not me. No, that's being pitiful. That's insulting what God gave His Son for. Be bold in the Lord. Be bold in faith. Read the Word of God. Receive it. Tell Him thank you. The glory that shall be revealed, what, up there? No, the glory that shall be revealed in you, Christ in me. Notice who it is, it's Christ. It's never me. It's never Jesse, and it ain't you. But you're the vessel. You're the vessel. Vessel of mercy. And what's the definition? The exact extreme opposite of what you deserve. And here, the exact extreme opposite. We should have in the pit of hell, and yet here we are, the most priceless things, because we contain the most priceless thing there is. This is it. My beautiful dog doesn't have it. The beautiful animals, all the trees, all these, they don't have that. God made them. But that life of his son, he living. And what he's coming to this brother to tell him, know it, that every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. So what Paul is saying there, you got it all. If we're already blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ, and if Christ's life lives in me, what every good thing is lacking? Nothing. Nothing. That's why we're going to get to the word acknowledge it. Acknowledge it. Isn't the word of God just amazing? And it's so subtle and so humble. But it's so true and it's so direct. He doesn't mince words. Acknowledge it. It's not that late. We're not that tired, are we? My goodness. We should be standing on these pews. But he says here that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Philemon, acknowledge. That word acknowledge means precise, correct knowledge. Paul's gospel gives you precise, exact, correct knowledge. You don't have to unlearn when you learn Paul's gospel. You don't. Praise God. It just hits it. It's precise. It's correct. It's the knowledge of dignity. It's the knowledge of benefits. It's all of that meaning and more. But that's what we acknowledge. And to have that fellowship in intimacy as spouses with the brethren of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. See, I'm not going to have this kind of fellowship with a babe in Christ. It's not going to be. That's why Paul is telling Philemon specifically, Onesimus is a like precious brother. He's special unto me. This brother, by the grace of God, ministers unto me. You receive him as you receive me. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, isn't that incredible that all we have to do is acknowledge it? I think about how Brother Hill used to bring out so sweetly, it's finally come to this, to know, reckon, and yield. Amen? To know it, reckon it, yield. Praise the Lord. It's all there for everything and anything we need in Christ. Know it. And by the grace of God, you know what? You know it. And then acknowledge that it's done and it's given. Amen. Not just to know it is something that we study, but to acknowledge that you have it. Acknowledge, trust the Lord, believe God. Draw nigh in full assurance of faith, believing him. But this is what is so wonderful here. Acknowledging who we are in Christ. That he, and to know it and acknowledge that he's given it and then yield to it. Yield to it. That's why he says, let it, that it may become effectual. Effectual. All right? And that's what's so beautiful there, that effectual, it means alive and in power in you. Philemon, I'm not going to let you ignore it. You're not just going to push this away. Don't fight it. Yield to what he's let you know and that he's chastening you about. See, that's the chastening of the Lord. Praise God. He's chastening you to believe what you know. He's chastening you to believe what you have. See, that's why people that don't know him, they just think, well, his chastening is to punish. God's not punishing you. He's chastening you in what you know. Praise the Lord. Why does it say you go on with Paul's gospel? You want to rule and reign with Jesus Christ. What's the condition there? If you suffer together. Let me tell you something. The chastening gets real big, immense, when you enter in truly to that divine relationship of Paul's gospel. And it's marvelous. And praise God, isn't it wonderful? As we continue to hear this, and you continue to know the line upon line, all of the lights just keep coming on. There's only one light, but it's just light upon light, and it goes. And you say, Lord, thank you, that's my life. I see it happening. I see the Word of God playing out before me, but most importantly, playing out in me. Hallelujah. That's the author and finisher of my faith. Philemon was lacking that perfect love for one. That's right. And this is the answer to anything that we may lack in our lives, is acknowledging. Acknowledging. See, Paul came to those who knew the truth, and he'd always lay it down. Just think what he said to the Galatians that knew it. Who hath bewitched you? He didn't say, oh, you're having a hard time. When you were departing from the faith, let me tell you something, he hammered you. And that's it. You got to lay, by the grace of God, lay it down. You lay it down in love, but you got to be firm. There's a sweet woman I was speaking to today, and she said something out of left field. And that was about it. She knew, because she knows this gospel. And I said, why would you mess with that? What a shame. And I said it just like this. I thought by now you would learn not to go getting in a garbage can. Well, I didn't. Well, then don't say that stuff. But if you're going to listen and you're going to be availing your ear to it, what are you going to spew out your mouth? I mean it. And it is time. And I'm telling you, I'm not a respecter of person. Because that was, well, never mind. All right. Acknowledge who you are in Christ. Acknowledge the precise, correct knowledge of dignity and the benefits that the Lord has given us every good thing that is in us in Christ. Once again, acknowledge who you are in Christ. Amen? Praise God, it's important to hear this gospel, isn't it? Because see, without hearing this, you're not going to be bold acknowledging who you are in Christ. You're going to be, you'll go out there and start to see yourself in the world. You're going to see yourself like other people that don't know the outward appearance, all these different things. You need to look at that inward man. And may I remind us who we are in Christ by the grace of God with this calling, the mature sons of God, kings, the spouse. And that is what Paul was doing here with this brother. Brother, you love all the saints. Love Onesimus too. Don't waste all blessings. You have them. Don't discard them. Don't be stiff-necked. God help us. Chastening is so beautiful because that's how you humble yourself before the Lord. It's His chastening that does it. It's true. You can't do a thing, can you? If anybody was thinking just for a moment, well, I humble myself before the Lord. No, you need to receive the chastening to humble yourself before the Lord. And I won't say any more to your comment. Now, we've had 32 weeks of In Christ. I believe we got it all. And always do we have it all in Christ. It's not just intermittent. It's always. And praise the Lord, upon that moment of salvation, we had it always beginning. Don't ever forget these studies. Don't ever forget this life, the life that's eternal, everlasting. Before he ever set a star in heaven, before he formed the world, he knew us in Christ. So, let's let it live. Let's let it be alive. Let it working in power. Now, by the grace of God, for those things to happen, for it to be alive and in power in us, we have to know and acknowledge. We accept it, we yield, and by the grace of God, we surrender. We surrender that all of these good things are in us in Christ. You have to surrender to that. You can't just pick and choose what good things you think you want in Christ. No. You have it all. You do. By the grace of God, to surrender to that truth. And to surrender to that grace, praise God, that we have these things. And he's saying there's no excuse, Philemon. The love of Christ to love Onesimus as you love me, it's right there in you. Acknowledge it. I won't spend much more time on this, but I love how Paul ends it up in verse 21. He said, but you know what? I'm having confidence in thy obedience. I know that thou will also do more than I say. Isn't that beautiful? I had a sister write me today, and I was so thankful. She really understood what obedience is. Let God. And that's exactly what this is saying, isn't it? That's exactly what this is saying. This is acknowledge it. Acknowledging it is letting God. Anything in our lives we face, acknowledge it. You know it, now count it. Reckon. Then go on, yield. Just yield to it, praise God. Brother Hill would always say, lay it on the altar, don't take it back. Put it on that altar, praise God. Trust him for it. You've asked him. Now leave it there. By that wonderful grace, receive that faith. But we praise the Lord because we have been blessed with all spiritual heavens and blessings in the heavens of Christ. And in that, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Because I got every good work of the Lord right here in me in Christ. Praise God. Praise God, he put that life there. And why did he then give us the Holy Ghost? He said he's been with you, and that's a wonderful thing. But isn't that interesting? How he put his life in us, and then he put his power in us by the infilling of the Holy Ghost. Nothing's out, it's in. It's in. He wants us to know who we are in Christ. That Christ in you is the hope of glory. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, this is comforting to know. And here's why. We are all different. We're all different. Every one of us. We're not the same. Not a one of us. Each of us, we thank the Lord, perfectly, wonderfully made with precise events of our lives, our temperaments, our abilities, or lack thereof. And God is always, in his faithfulness, faithful to bring us to a place, and place after place, of impossible. Place after place of impossible. And he brought this precious brother Philemon to the place after place of impossible. Oh, your precious brother. Oh, you know Paul's gospel. Oh, you're increasing the bowels of these saints, refreshing them, so wonderful. Why don't you love this brother? It's us. It's us. But it's become pressing. Don't put it off. No more. Not going to dance around this thing. You got to quit. And it doesn't just have to be this instant. This is in everything. And this isn't speaking of, you know, I'm going to tame my flesh. It's not what this is. This is about love. This is about love, and this is about faith. Praise God. This is about the bride. And that bride is going to love what he loves. And I mean, and is going to be in love with what he's in love with. This isn't today's marriage on this earth. This is his marriage. And that's why the Father is in that marriage. I know it's not popular today, but there was a day when the parents, they were choosing. They followed that pattern. I'm not going to get into that one way or another. But I'll tell you what, this Father, the one, he's going to choose. And he's searching and seeking. And he sent that one, the Holy Ghost, not upon, but in. That's how intimately that Holy Ghost is seeking the inward man. He's looking for that one that's really acknowledging everything. I acknowledge Christ in me in everything. Everything. His brother prayed every down city, every uprising. I'm acknowledging him. I acknowledge his grace and his mercy every moment. Never to think too much of myself. But oh my, I glory in that man. That man. That man that has every good thing. In Christ. Now, this was one for Philemon. He was ignoring, he was sweeping it under a rug. But know this, these are the most precious trials of our lives. That's why Onesimus, his name means profitable. Onesimus was profitable. He was profitable to Paul, ministering, but he was really profitable to Philemon. He was a thorn. Different kind of thorn, but you understand what I mean by that. Can't that brother stay away? Can I love him from afar? Oh, I really love him. I love him. I'm loving him. I love him. Oh, he's in my church. This is real. This is real. But this profitable is the most precious things to surrender to and bow our heads and humble ourselves in knowing that we've come up short. Isn't that beautiful how the Lord does that for us? Always, always bringing that need of grace. And that's where all the greatest gains come from. And it's so precious because I believe that these are becoming more apparent to us because we're in the final moments of the readying of the bride. This is it. And I'm thankful. I can see it happening in my brethren. I thank the Lord. The Lord chose me some things of hearts and some different encouragements and maybe even discouragements that are going on. But he's using those things. Praise the Lord. He's using those things. That without them, I'll tell you what, that complete fullness, measure, stature of him would never come forth. And I thank the Lord. I was praying today, Lord, let your lowliness come into my life more and more all the time. All the time. Think about our lowly Lord. But see, it's there. But let it live. Now, kind of closing this up. Do you see the two requirements here? All faith in Paul's gospel and perfect love for all saints. There you go. And here you go with this. You can't have what you don't believe. You cannot have what you don't believe. I mean, you can't know if you don't hear it. But once you hear it, you can't have what you don't believe. And here you go on the second one. You can't love without possessing the love to love to that degree. If I lack the love to be married, I won't be married. Now, I've seen people get in marriages where they really didn't love the one that they were marrying. And that didn't last. It doesn't last. I was thinking about little Leah. She never really had the fullness of marriage because she was never Jacob's first love. Hurt my heart. God still blessed her, but she never had that blessing of first love. But Rachel did. Yes, she did. Types in those things and encouragements, but things to think about. But brothers and sisters, that love receiving one another as Paul himself is alive and present and effectual, working like dynamite in the first cut. And I say the first cut. And it was so sweet. When I was back there in Kansas City, oh, how the Lord, he'll teach you something new, and then he'll bring it into how he loves us. When I go out to Kansas City, I got to have ribs. Got to have ribs. Kansas City barbecue. You just got to have it. So I had one dinner. Well, actually, I had two dinners. I had one at a Precious Saint's house, and that was wonderful. But I had one more dinner. We had to get it. So sweet brother Aaron, I said, brother, called him up. Have barbecue with me. He's a big fella and he likes barbecue. He was showing up. So we went out and had our barbecue. And as we were ordering there, I was looking at the ribs and everything. And it was kind of fun. And so, you know, ribs aren't cheap. I'm telling you, they're expensive. This brother cooks them. He knows. But then not only were they expensive, they had another line that said the crown cut. Now, I never even heard of crown cut. Then I was thinking about people in the Word of God. They never heard of a crown cut. So you know what I had to ask? Because when it said an extra $15 a pound, don't worry, I didn't get to taste the crown cut, but I know what it is. I was a little cheap that day. Next time I'm going to get it, and then I'll tell you about it. But that crown cut, I asked that lady. I said, what's a crown cut rib? I said, is it, you know, is it the filet? Is it prime rib? Where's that thing at? She says, that crown cut is at the top of the ribs. I just thought that was so beautiful. She said, there's something about the meat at the top of the rib that I really couldn't tell you. And she said, but you just have to taste. So, all I could say was, Lord, we are that valuable to you. All those little things that hurt all my life. I sat down at Jack Stack Barbecue, and this girl was telling me about it, and she didn't even know about it. But yet, by the time we left, that girl gave her heart to the Lord faster than anybody had ever been inclined to by the Lord to minister to. Now, every good thing of Christ reigns in her. See, it's not just that every good thing in Christ is in her, because every good thing in Christ is in every child of God, because he's in you. But the difference is, every good thing in you in Christ reigns in her. That's the difference of the bride. Every good thing. And she yields to that. Doesn't mean that she's a perfect person. But she's perfect in believing him. Abounding in that hope. Abounding in that love. Joy. Joy. I'm not saying joy while I'm in the failure, but yeah, not when I failed, but in the failure. Have you ever had joy? Now, I want you to stay with me. When you didn't believe, it wasn't joyful, but when he hit you about how faithful he is in your unbelief, didn't you have joy? Oh, you never experienced that now, did you? Well, I'll tell you this. I encourage you to say, every day. Lord, let me yield to and let every good thing that is in me, in Christ, be alive and reigning in me. It's said like this, God help my unbelief. I really love how this precious letter brings it out. Come on. Every good thing, brother. Every good thing that's in you, in Christ, let it be alive. Acknowledge it. We've had 32 weeks. By the grace of God, let's acknowledge it. I believe that's believing in the dignity, the aristocracy, the perfection of Christ in us, the hope of glory. Praise God. Let's go ahead and stand and be dismissed.